Well, I've mentioned this before, and I need to say it again, that I'm not good enough to plan the timing of my sermons. So for this one to come up, and this series to come up in Romans chapter 13, during the 4th of July, or the weekend coming up here, is not my timing. I am glad it's here. I think it's appropriate. We had some elections, and we're going to have some more elections, and then we're going to have some more elections in 24. So it is a good time. And it is a good time because we're seeing the Supreme Court do some weird stuff. We're like, what are you doing now? Like, didn't you have it right the first time? Right? Roe v. Wade, 1973. Didn't you have it right the first time? Or when they kicked God out of school, and all of these things. Why now? You ever thought about this? I mean, if God is absolutely sovereign, why are things happening when they do? We like the hows and the whys, but you ever think about the when? When things happen? Did you know, and this is just a cursory purview, kind of a jaunt through Google to find some really weird laws. Did you know that it's illegal to chew gum in Singapore? Don't pack your gum in Singapore. Don't wear your Winnie the Pooh shirt in Poland. It's obscene. It's illegal to build a sandcastle in Spain. I don't know about you, but the pictures of Spain, there's a lot of sand there. And for kids not to build castles, that's kind of sad. It's illegal to fly a kite in a few countries. I would suggest when you go to Australia, you don't say, go fly a kite. It's illegal. Since 1948, it's illegal to dance in the dark after midnight in Japan. You can kind of figure that one out just by the year, right? Because when the Americans were there, yeah, that's what messed that whole thing up. No more dancing in Japan. In Japan, you know, because of those Americans. You cannot die, and maybe you could help us with this, but it said you cannot die without a pre-purchased burial plot in parts of France. Maybe Sonia could help us with that one. It's illegal to die inside the Houses of Parliament. Don't die there. It's illegal to reincarnate without permission in China. Don't do that. There's no bears in South Africa, but it's still illegal to wrestle them. And it's illegal to kill Bigfoot in British Columbia. Who makes these things up? It's like, let's take it, but the barefoot one, right? Okay, now there might be a barefoot, a Bigfoot. So we can't go kill them if there is one, so we better put a law out there just in case we find one, right? Don't kill it. There are democracies and communism and oligarchs, aristocracy, monarchies, theocracies, and then there's a combination of all those, socialism, communism, Nazism, fascism, dictatorships, military dictatorships. Yeah, you get it. Why? Because we really don't know what we're doing. Just ask the Supreme Court. Now, some governments try to do their best, but every single one of them goes south. Every single one has gone south. Not one has succeeded. Ask Adam, who was the first steward of the planet, Lamech in chapter 4, who wanted to take God's vengeance on himself. Ask Nimrod, the builder of the first world kingdom, Egypt, who followed up, and then Assyria and Babylon and Greek and Rome and, the British Empire and the French Empire and, all these empires. For whatever reason, more people more gold, more oil, oil, spoil. That's the big thing today. Just ask President Putin. Have you seen the USA today? Not the paper. Have you seen America? We've got our own weird laws. Did you know that you can't throw an octopus in Michigan? It's illegal. You can't drive blindfolded in Alabama. Who needs to put that in the law? In Arizona, it's illegal for a donkey to sleep in a bathtub. You get what some of these, right? They were written like, 100 years ago or 150 years ago and never got taken off the books. You understand that? Get this now, Bob. Get this, and Bruce. In Kansas, when two trains approach each other at a crossing, they shall both come to a full stop, and neither shall start up until the other has gone. You see how much trouble we're in. That's Congress, by the way, right? Stop! We can't get anywhere from here. In Pennsylvania, you actually have to dismantle your car and hide it if you're sharing the road with a team of skittish horses. That's an old law. In Missouri, you cannot, under any circumstance, drive with an uncaged bear in your car. Illinois forbids you from having your pup, handing your puppy a lighted cigarette. West Virginia, whistling underwater is prohibited. And finally, New Mexico may have it all right. Idiots may not vote. That would leave out just about most of us. You see where we're at. We've got good people in Congress. We've had good presidents. We've had good people. We have one here who's trying to do something in our church. We've got good people who want to do good. But what are we fighting against? Principalities and powers of the air. At what point does a smart person rebel? I'm not doing that. We lift our voice and maybe our guns, At what point does a righteous person rebel? Two different things. When does the righteous stand up against the government? Can you? Should you? You can biblically make a case in the New Testament that you don't. Except for one thing, which is really, really, really clear. I use three reallys, so I really mean it. That when it comes to the preaching of the gospel, you will not stop us. That is as plain and simple as can be. You're not going to stop us from the preaching of the gospel. In Acts chapter 4, we can't help but preach. We will continue to do so. Peter and the apostle. And then in Acts chapter 5, you remember, this is really wonderful, I love this. They get arrested in chapter 4, or they get released, we don't have anything against them, let them go. And then they get rearrested in chapter 5, and then they're in prison. Who opens the prison door? The angel. It's not the Roman guards or, any of the Israelites. It's an angel. That's all the authority you need, right? Angel comes up, opens your door, you better go out. And then he says, go, preach. And so then when they got arrested again, which that's going to happen, because Satan doesn't give up either, they said, we must obey God rather than men. That's clear, right? So the first time that they come up and say, you stop preaching, and I don't show up, you make sure you fire me, okay? And we'll fire Gary and fire anybody else who says, better not preach because they told me not to. But what about the other stuff? Right? That's easy. And that's like, we're doing it for God. We've got a righteous anger and a righteous momentum and purpose. I'm on God's side, you know. Well, did you know that they had that in the Revolution, the Revolutionary War? Listen, the first week we talked about manners. Mind your manners. Because in Romans chapter 13, that's what it's saying. Mind the government. They're God's authority. Mind your manners. The next one was run to the battle lines. That was run for on the purpose of your country. Run for the purpose of your family. Run for the purpose of your church. Go to the battle lines. Don't be like Saul, who was hiding in the baggage. Be like David, who ran from the baggage to the battle lines. Okay? You go and help. We get up and go and help. The government, even. But what if the government is the problem? What if they're the enemy? Well, I have a question for you. Did the disciples rebel? Did they pick up arms? Did they riot? They rebelled on one issue, and that is preaching the gospel. Now, see, we're going to come down to America. Let's come down into America now, right? We've been given money for abortions for 50 years. We've killed 60 million plus children. 60 million. We can talk about the economy, what they would have, maybe the scientists, we've heard that, the doctors and the nurses and all these little children. Now, the government, the Supreme Court is saying, well, we were wrong. And yes, you're right, you were wrong. But what about the Marriage Act several years ago that the Supreme Court passed? Now, so what about that? What about the same-sex marriages? Should we give honor to a government who's destroying our country? I mean, it's destroying our country. And you know what the word says, especially Proverbs and Psalms, about what God does to a country that's lost its way. In Job chapter 12. He says, I've given their leaders a trackless wilderness. They will wander there, mindless and empty, and they'll lead us that way. Are we to honor them? Are we to give taxes to them? I mentioned that in the revolution, religion, and I'll say it a little bit more clearly, in the religious factor in the revolution gave a moral reason and even sanction for war. It is evil not to go against the king. It is evil not to go against war. We have to go to war. We have to fight for our rights. We have to fight for our nation. We have to fight for our laws. We have to in the sight of God. One half of the Anglican preachers gave up their pulpit to go fight. One half. Anglicans and Methodists and Presbyterians, they all even reorganized their church, their churches in America, in the colonies, to make it more American, make it more colonial. Early settlers, when they came over, the Puritans really thought they were the new Israel. We have a mandate from God to go settle a new land. And so that mentality from 1620 all the way up to 1776 was fermenting, you see? It was fermenting. They came to a wonderful land, and yes, they conquered natives and did some of that stuff, but they were on a righteous, you know, toil for the Lord and the church and to settle things, you know? And I do believe God's hand was in it. I do. How they went about it sometimes was wrong, plain and simple. And the same with the revolution. Sometimes the way they went about it was wrong. However, they did it, and I believe, my personal belief, it was a mandate from God. How do we know that? Churches thrived. Missionaries thrived. America has sent out more missionaries than anybody else in history. And we still do a great job. We're failing in some, but we're still doing a very good job. If the government would just stay out of our way. So the early settlers came and thinking, you know, war with France, war with England. They're the bad guys. King George III is the Antichrist. That's what they preached. And we're on God's side, and we're fighting tyranny and freedom. So you understand that many of the preachers, they kind of conjured this thing up. Like, you know, we're going to use the Bible and religion, and we're going to go to war. And your question in your mind, and mine still is, did they have a right to revolt against a king? I've come to my own conclusion. Samuel Sherwood said in his 1776 sermon on the church's flight into the wilderness, he said, "It is the church's flight from the Antichrist into the wilderness. It's kind of prophesied in the book of Revelation. It's not the Revelation one, but it is a typology of that. And American Christians are the church in the wilderness, and they are sent far away from England to raise battle and defeat the Antichrist." I want to skip that for now. Peter Muhlenberg was a Lutheran preacher in Woodstock, Virginia. At the conclusion of his sermon in January of 76, he threw off his clerical robe, and underneath was his military officer uniform. He went straight to war. James Caldwell was a Presbyterian minister in Elizabeth, New Jersey. He became a chaplain in the militia. And at the Battle of Springfield, New Jersey on June 23, 1780, their company ran out of wadding for their bullets. So he saw a Presbyterian church nearby, and he ran in, and he grabbed all the hymnals, and they're called Watts hymnals, and he grabbed all the hymnals he could, and he took them to the company. He said, "Rip them up, boys, and make wadding out of them. Give them some Watts," he said. "Give them some Watts." He and his wife died. The colonials had to grapple with change and chaos. The church had to grapple with change and chaos. And you want to go back? Romans 13. Rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to taxes, who taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Here's my question. What if the government is not a terror to good, but actually to good? What if we kind of do fear authority, even when we're doing good? Is it really owed to a good government to pay for abortions and these kinds of things on our tax money? Is that good? You see, I said before, Paul does not give you any caveats here about rebelling against the government. There's none. But there are clues, because this is a general aspect of obeying authority. But there are clues, and the clues come down to this. What is terror and what is good? What is honor and who is it belong to? Are you to honor a foolish king? Now, when I say honor, We may respect them. But how is it that we can rebel? I mean, we can honor somebody who wants to destroy our nation by using evil. Evil. And I'm talking marriage, LGBT, transgender, and all of these things. To be frank with you, I'm glad I only have to preach this maybe once a year, because we can get kind of really down and kind of really scared and kind of really taken back by what is happening. But it's kind of in our face, isn't it? I mentioned that the timing of Roe v. Wade being overturned now is odd to me. The first question it came to my mind was, why now? When just a few years ago you passed that so-called Marriage Act or LGBT Act. Why is it now when Antifa is ruling the streets and destroying the streets? Why now when the borders of our nation are wide open? Gas is at $6, $7, $8 a gallon. We're almost at war with Russia. We're at a cold war, if you will. Why now? And I will say this again, as I've been telling, especially the Sunday night group. God is calling us to decide. Now, where this goes from here for the United States of America is one issue. At some point, is there a civil war? Is there all this kind of stuff that just seems to be coming sometimes? And we're concerned and heavy burdened about that. And that's a decision you have to make as a father, a grandfather, an uncle, a mother, and a daughter. And we may have to make that decision, as they did in 1775 and 6 and maybe before that. Or even during the Civil War. We may have to make that decision. But the first decision is not that decision. The first decision is, what are we going to do as a church in these times? We're going to celebrate this decision by the court. We're going to shout it from the rooftops that the feds cannot abort children anymore. What are the states going to do? Do you know that there's something like 15 states that they have a I can't remember, it's a clause that if the feds overturn Roe v. Wade, their abortion is illegal in their state almost immediately. You're going to see states turning this over real quick. And I think if I remember right, there was one the other day already, the next day, it overturned that day. Red legislatures are going to say it's illegal to have abortions in our state. And that's happening. But now when you see the map, you're going to see the red and the blue, and the red and the blue, and it's going to get redder and it's going to get bluer. Because as we've been talking, the division has started on the planet. The division has started. East and West, China, Russia, that old squad, who they hate each other, by the way, and the West, the EU and America, who we should be like, hey, you know, we don't really want to be involved with the EU. We want to, you know, we've been playing our own game for quite a while. We know how to do it. We love you guys, and we'll help you. We'll send you all the gas and oil you want, right? Open up the spigots. But we're going to maintain as much righteousness in this nation as we can. We're not going to be ruled by another government, which NAFTA and the EU and others want to do. We've got decisions to make. But the first decision to make is in the church. What are we going to do going south when the nation continues to go south? Now, in 22, maybe there's going to be a huge backlash. In 24, maybe we have a righteous president. Maybe. But, and we hope for that, right? And we vote for that. But don't rely on it, because it all goes south. In Boston, the man was Jonathan Mayhew. He preached a sermon concerning the discourse of unlimited submission. In other words, at what point do we stop submitting to the government? He used Romans 13 for the same text to say there's a point when the good guy becomes the bad guy that you stop submitting to him. It happened to be on the day, the very day, the anniversary of the execution of Charles I, when the Puritans kept silent during his execution. Mayhew decided otherwise. He's not going to keep silent. He's going to yell from the rooftops. And then as soon as he was done, he concluded by saying, insofar as a government is a whore and its religious obligations are horrible as well, that honor is not any longer an obligation. That the duty of submission is likewise nullified. I can go through more sermons. We're running out of little time here. I won't do it. The grandson of Ralph Waldo Emerson was a 32-year-old preacher. He studied the unfolding of the Revolution for years. And he lived in Concord, Massachusetts. Just so happened. And they heard that the British were going to come. And they heard that there were spies in Concord. And they heard that the spies had sent word to General Gage that they had the armory there. And they knew that they were going to come someday and burn it down. And you remember the shot heard around the world when the British landed, and it seemed like it was a massacre, but it was only, I think, 8 people who got killed. It was, that's quite a few, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't, but that shot was bigger than, I mean, to us, it is the biggest thing on the planet because it started America. It's that loud. And people like Emerson and all these men who gave up their post to go fight for a nation so that it could worship God on their terms. The church had become a tyrant as well. You can't worship there, you can't preach this, you can't do this. And so they fought for new lands, and I believe it was God-given. I think that at this point, you need to start thinking about whose task you're going to take up going forward. We are going to preach the gospel. We're not going to hold homosexual marriages in this church. Amen. And down the line, all that kind of stuff. We're going to be against it. We're going to cry out loud against those things. It's in our Constitution, right, Dan? We're not going to go that route. We need to make a stand right here. Because if you're relying on the Supreme Court, we're not seeing what's happening. The Supreme Court's not the issue. The division in this nation is the issue. And at some point, this is what the Lord said. And I'll just get to this. Look at verse 5. Therefore, one must be in subjection, but watch the reason. Not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. You see, there's the caveat. That's what you're looking for. So somebody comes up and says, we're going to shut down your church if you don't have gay marriages here. And we say, well, that scares me. I think we better shut down. I walk out of here, and 2 years later, 5 years later, 20 years later, if I'm still alive, my conscience burns because I gave into a government over gay marriage. And the Lord is saying, Work out of your conscience, son. Don't be working out of fear. Most of the problems come from fear. And so we have to take our posts. And this may be the initial one. This was where we may say, okay, this is it. We can't trust Governor Noem. She's made some mistakes lately. There's been some things happening that we don't like. We can't trust government. They all go south. So in your mind, going forward, do two things. One, I'm preaching the gospel. I'm taking the gospel with me. That's clear and simple, and I'm not giving that up for nothing. You go to church, you gather together, they can mandate all the vaccines they want. I'm not taking it, if you will. All that kind of stuff, I'm not doing it. I'm going to church. Number two, when it comes to these other things, like LGBT, abortions, marriages, the government, the immigration, taxes, all these other things, make a decision that you're going to do whatever you're going to do out of faith and righteousness. I'm going to do what's right. And one more thing, I'll caveat this as well. What did Jesus say about friends? No greater love than this, than one laying down his life for his friends. Proverbs says that when the poor are being killed, that you are to go and save them. Keep those kinds of things in your mind as we go forward. Because we don't know at some point when God says, you know what? You know, like that one comedian, he blew the whistle and said, everybody out of the pool. It's over. The party's over. The lovely weather, you know, it's great in here. Wonderful people. And it's tough to preach a message like this. But if we're not looking for what's going around us, we're blind and we're asking for what's coming. We need to be careful, vote, and stay tuned to the government, but especially the Lord and the Spirit of the Holy God. Have a great Fourth. We worship you today, Lord God. Everyone in this place lifts our hearts to you and our voices. And we look to you for our true freedom, our eternal home, a place where the banner, the standard, the flag will never fall, and we will always have a righteous king. We look forward to that place. Until then, we need your comfort of your Holy Spirit. We need the wisdom that comes from above, and we need the help from each other, Lord. Help us to do that as a church, as we manifest your righteousness and holiness on the planet. In Jesus' name, amen.